Well, if you have your Bibles, would you open to Matthew chapter 24? In fact, why don't you stand to your feet? I like to honor the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 24. I'll be honest with you guys. I struggled over what I was going to preach this morning, not because I had trouble finding what I wanted to preach. In fact, I felt like I had so many things in my heart, I just didn't know where to start. And I'd much rather have that than not knowing. I have no idea what I'm going to do. But this is going to be a good, encouraging word for us, I think, as we come into this new year. I've already been feverishly looking for, I take seriously the word of the prophets and what the Lord is speaking to them. I know God is speaking things to us personally. I know things are going to come into the heart of Dr. Morocco that we're going to receive over the whole of KC. But there's also some things that God speaks to prophets that are going to apply on a national and an international level. And so I'm listening for those things. If you guys come across something just profound and it feels like God, do send it my way. I would love to see and hear what the Lord is speaking in other places. So, Matthew 24, are you there? This is an interesting passage. I'm not going to get all gloom and doom on you, but just so you know what Jesus is talking about. In fact, if you look at verse 1, the caption above that, at least in my Bible, says Jesus speaks about the future. Jesus speaks about the future. And I think there are things that the Lord intends to do in the future that if we look here, and this is what we're going to do today, we'll see that he teaches us how to receive and how to prepare for what he's going to do. How many of you say, God, I don't want to miss what you have for me this year? Anybody in agreement with that? That's my declaration, and I've been praying that every night and will continue to. My declaration over us is that we will not miss God's will. My declaration for you is you will not miss God's will for your life this year. You're going to hit the mark. When he opens the door, you're going to discern it. You're going to have the courage and everything, the backing, the anointing to step through what God opens for you. And so let's look at this. Verse 32. Says, now learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, when you see these things, you know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away from the scene until all these things take place. And he's just listed a bunch. I'll review it in a moment. I tell you the truth, this generation will not pass away from the scene before these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. However, no one knows the day or the hour these things will happen, not even the angels in heaven or the Son himself. Only the Father knows. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in the days of Noah. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right until the time of Noah, until the time that Noah entered the boat. Verse 39, people didn't realize what was going to happen. Let me say that again. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them away. This is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day the Lord is coming. Understand this, if a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. A faithful, sensible servant is one to whom the master can give the responsibility of managing his other household servants and feeding them. If the master returns and finds the servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. I tell you the truth, the master will put that servant in charge of all that he owns. But if that servant is evil and thinks my master won't be back for a while, and begins beating the other servants, partying and getting drunk, the master will return unannounced and unexpected. He will cut the servant to pieces, wow, and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you would anoint the word that I bring out this morning. God, we see We see here you're warning a people that they could miss what is getting ready to come down the road. Lord, we don't want to be a people as they were in the days of Noah, that God, we're going about our own business. We're doing our own thing, not discerning what is getting ready to come down the road. Lord, we want to be a people that discern, that we recognize the times and the seasons that are upon us, that we are going to be a people that fulfill your will and your intentions in this coming year. And God, for the next years, God, I just pray that your heart would be expressed this morning in all that we say and do. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody say, amen, amen. You may take a seat. You know, you might be confused by this passage, and absolutely, if you've read, if you just take some time and read through Matthew 24 sometime, Jesus lays out what we would call the signs of the times. Jesus, the disciples had asked Jesus, how are we going to know when your return is? How are we going to know when this kingdom that has been prophesied is going to come into fruition? And this is what Jesus said, and I would also point your attention to the fact that we tend to look at the last days, we look at end times, and boy, it's all gloom and doom. And it's true, man. You see stuff like the Antichrist, the false prophet. You see, earthquakes and wars and rumors of wars and pestilence and famines, and all of those are bad things. But did you know that there are some good signs that are going to come with these last days as well? Such as the fact that the gospel is going to be preached in all nations. How many believe that's a good sign of the last days? I mean, praise God. Even right now, Facebook Live, I mean, we have people that access this message. I mean, I look at the analytics sometimes, and we get people from Germany, we get people from Africa, we get individuals from Brazil, from Mexico, who tune in and watch this. It's amazing that the gospel can go forward. Literally, you can have somebody in a third world country just share a video, and now they've got the gospel streaming into their homes. Isn't that amazing? That's one of the signs of the end times. It's not all bad. There is a lot of bad, but man, you look at this and some of the other things. You talk about the Jews who are going to be coming to Christ in this last day. And I know over the last decade, there's been almost a 500% increase in Jewish individuals who are now receiving Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Now, Messianic Jews is incredible to see. One of the things that we ought to stand on and that we ought to contend for every day is what was prophesied in Acts chapter 2, that in the last days, they said, that God would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. This should be something that is familiar to each and every one of us, but how many know this is a sign of the last days? Did you know that Spirit-filled Pentecostal believers, we got any Pentecostals in the house today? Okay, yeah, I hope so. If you don't know what that means, that just means you believe in the presence and the power of Pentecost. You believe that what God did in Acts chapter 2, you believe that what God did, what Jesus did as he was walking the earth, releasing miracles, right? Healing the sick, casting out devils. We believe that stuff still goes on today. Amen? Amen. Anybody a living, walking testimony that God's power is living and active in the world today? I mean, really, we could just start sharing testimonies of the healing that people have received, of deliverance that has transpired. But God, what has happened is from the early 1900s, there were approximately 1 million spirit-filled believers that were on the face of the earth in the year 1900. But then something happened about 5-6 years later, what we call the Azusa Street Revival. And what we saw transpire there, same thing was going on in Wales, same thing was happening. God had this coordinated strategy where he began to pour out his Spirit in incredible measure. And over the last 110 years, more or less, we have seen the Spirit-filled Pentecostal church grow from around 1 million believers to where some people are estimating that today there are over 600 million Spirit-filled believers on the face of the earth. We're in good company, church. You know that is a sign of the times that we're living in. I've seen some statistics that guess that number might be closer to 750. And I'm even watching. I mean, this blows my mind. I grew up in a Southern Baptist church. That's right. I'm about Holy Ghost fire and all of this, but I did not grow up that way. I was introduced into that whenever I went into Christ for the Nations. I met guys like Steve Hill. I'd see these guys from the Argentine Revival. I mean, I just got overwhelmed by the Holy Ghost. But what is amazing is I've even watched it. There's certain areas of the Southern Baptist denomination who have now decided, you know what? We believe that tongues are for today. We believe that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today. We're watching entire denominations shift their theology to say, you know what? We believe that the Holy Spirit can move in this last day. That is huge, church. I don't know if you grasp the gravity of that, but these are all good signs of the times. And you know, Jesus, the reason that he began talking about this, if you look, we're not going to read the passage, but in Matthew 23, just before he begins talking to his disciples about all of the things that are getting ready to happen. In Matthew 23, he grieves in verse 37. He says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers, how I've wanted to gather you as children, as a hen protects her chicks beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me. Now look, your house is abandoned and desolate. For I tell you this, you will not see me again till you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" You see, these individuals missed Jesus. They did not discern Jesus when he was right there before them. And here he is standing on the hillside looking upon the city whom he came to redeem, where he wanted to begin his kingdom work. And he stands there weeping because they missed it. They missed what Jesus desired to do. And I look at this, and Jesus, he then begins to talk, and he begins to exhort his disciples, "Listen, boys, there's some things that are getting ready to happen, and you're not going to miss them if you keep watch in this way." God's got opportunities for each and every one of us. And I believe with all of my heart, church, that God has some things for the future. There's some things that Jesus told his disciples, if you do this, you won't miss the hour of visitation. And I believe there are things. Now, first of all, we can take this at face value. How many believe that Jesus is getting ready to come back quickly? I mean, we need to be ready for this, church. I feel a drive. You want to know the reason I feel a drive for evangelism and for soul winning is not because I've spent time hanging around evangelists and these kinds of individuals. It's when I gained an awareness that, you know what, Jesus really could split the sky at any moment. And then the chapter on this season of grace that we've been walking in since Jesus walked the earth, this chapter's about to close. And what is going to happen in the time immediately preceding the return of Jesus Christ is the greatest wrath and judgment that the world has ever seen. And church, I don't want my friends and family to endure that. I want my friends and family to be washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I want to see the greatest revival take place amongst my friends and my family, amongst the people that I love, individuals like you. I want to see the glory of God revealed. We're not going to miss what the Lord wants to do. This is why I have such a great drive to see souls come to Jesus, is because, guys, time is short. Jesus could come back in a moment, and then it's going to be done. And who are we taking with us? Who are we taking with us? And so we can take this at face value. But the other thing, and this is more pertinent for us today, we're going to be ready. But I believe that God has some things for us in this coming year. And what I believe is Jesus laid out some principles here. He was saying, guys, if the Jews had seen what I was doing, if they had discerned me in this time, they wouldn't have missed it. And then he talks about in the future, you guys aren't going to miss it if you do these things. And I believe, church, this applies on a grand scale in the return of Jesus Christ, but this also applies to us today. That there are some things that if we don't want to miss God's will for this coming year, that we can apply some of these. Does that make sense? Okay, I hope you're tracking with me so far. How can we be prepared for what God is going to do in 2018? God will give us vision and make it a priority to get here on prayer nights, because that's really what we're talking a lot about. And God's going to give us vision, and he's forming all of these things. You know, Leah turned to me, and we were walking out of a movie. What is the name of that movie? I wish she was here. The dancing one, the one with Wolverine. What's it called? Somebody help me. Talk to The Greatest Showman. Why are you whispering? Tell me. Yeah, shout it out. Okay. And but we were watching this, and you know, as we were walking out of that movie, you know, it was a good movie. It had, you know, it got heavy there for a little bit. I won't spoil anything, but it was a good movie. And as we were walking out of this thing, you know, she looks at me and she says, "You know what, Jacob? As I look at this, I realize I'm not a dreamer. I'm not a dreamer like that. I mean, this guy had a vision for what he wanted to accomplish with his life, and she just walked out saying, I'm just not that." And you know what? I grabbed her and I said, "You know what, Leah? That's okay." You want to know why? You want to know why? Is because God has brought us together, and I am absolutely a visionary. I'm a guy who dreams big, and I know some of you are geared that way too. He's already showing you things. You already got a picture of what you want to see your family like, what you want to see ministry look like. You've got ideas for this church. You've got ideas for the future, and he shows you things. You don't have problems dreaming about this kind of stuff. But then there's others and individuals like myself. If I didn't know better, I'd mark you as individuals with a critical spirit or something, because you guys are the ones that when you hear vision, when you hear something crazy, you're the ones that are saying, I don't think, Pastor, do you see that we've got holes in the ceilings? Do you see that we've got, you know, this problem going on? Do you see we don't have parking spaces for all this? How in the world are you going to believe for 500 people to come into the house of God over this next year? Do you think that it's crazy, right? And I was moved this last Wednesday. They had a guest speaker at King's Cathedral, and this guy had not preached there for many years. And he was sharing about the fact that one of the times he came to preach for Dr. Morocco, they were in a tent on the property that they now have the cathedral built on. And he was there, and they were worshiping in this tent. And he said Dr. Morocco was just talking about how great and grand this building was going to be when it was built, how wonderful it was going to be. He even knew about the fountain that was going to be in the front of the building, and how it was going to how it was going to have lights, and how the water was going to run, and all of this. And the guy, he said that he was sitting there thinking, like, we're in a tent in a field. Like, do you not understand where we are right now? And I'm telling you guys, some of you are built this way. I'm a guy who dreams. I'm a guy who sees things, okay? I'll walk this empty lot over next to us, and I'll just dream about, God, would you ever give us a piece of property like this? God, would you ever let us build on this? And my wife is she's the one who's thinking, you know what, Jacob, we need to get a place for the nursery today. Who cares about what's going on across the street right now? We need to make sure there's a place for our children to go. We need to make sure there's a women's ministry in this house. We need to, you know, how's our finances doing? And you know what? Let me just tell you, there are two types of thinkers primarily in the world today. Number one, there are those that we would call visionaries, but then there are also those that are called managers. Okay, this will help some of you, because I used to think that my wife was like a vision killer. All right, I'm just being honest with you. She was the one who was always squashing my dreams. In fact, there was a long time where she said, "I don't even like vision. I'm so tired of hearing about vision." And but I've learned something, and this is going to help some of you guys. This is going to help us as we move forward. Because I bet about half of this room, or maybe a quarter of this room, you guys, when I'm talking about dreams and what God's wanting to do, some of you get so excited, and yes, let's receive an offering for it right now. Let's start doing it right now. I want to start building it right now. But then there's about three quarters of you that are saying, "We'll see." Do you understand where we're at today, Pastor? And you know what? I've watched some guys get frustrated over that, but here's what I've learned, that these two can actually work together, and they can work very well together. And this is why, because God will give a visionary a vision. They will see a future that is something that is to be aspired to. Man, this is a good, this is something that, man, we really need to press towards. And what will happen is, if you would receive it, there are individuals that God has put this kind of manager anointing on them. And they're going to look around and they see all the hindrances and all the roadblocks. But if these two could learn to work together, first of all, the visionaries would say, well, you're not just trying to kill vision. You're not here just being critical and, you know, just of little faith or anything. If I would learn it, I would say, you know what, God? You've given me a vision for what you would like to see done here. Leah, can you help me navigate this so we can get to the future that God has laid out before us? And if the managers would receive it, God has given them an anointing. You know what? Okay. This is what pastor says. This is what the vision is saying. This is what God is telling us in this hour. Well, this is where we are right now. But here's how we can navigate this to get to where God desires us to be. Does this make sense to you? I'm telling you, guys, and the reason I even share that, I haven't even got into my main points yet this morning, but I wanted to preface this because what I've been doing during our prayer nights and what I will be doing over these next few weeks is going to deal a lot with vision and where God is taking us. And I know some of you get excited about this kind of thing, and others get frustrated about it. But I want us to be on the same page. And listen, if you're one who sees roadblocks, praise God. Help me navigate them. We can work together on this thing. I know there's some of you that have been down this road before, and I need your experience. I need what the Lord has done in and through you. We can work together to see this thing fulfilled. Amen? Amen. So, look at verse 32. This is where we began. Learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. I've actually entitled this message, Summer is Coming. Summer is coming. Guys, I don't know if you discern what the Lord is doing in this place. I have never come into a new year in any church, in any ministry that I've been a part of, and felt so much excitement and so much energy and so much momentum as what I feel in this house right now. This is huge. I'm telling you, I had a season. I remember there was a time where my wife and I, this was the first church that we pastored. We were about 3 years into that work. And I remember, man, we were busy. We were exhausted. I mean, we were active in the youth ministry. She was leading worship. I was pastoring the church. I mean, we were constantly going. And I remember as we got out of that season, the Lord moved us, you know, and then you fast forward about 4 or 5 years, we were there in Dallas, and we were on staff now at another church. And I remember there was this moment where we began to reflect back. And I'm like, do you remember some of those Wednesday nights at Breakthrough Youth? We would have 300 kids. Guys, this was in a town of about, this was in a town of about 1,200 individuals. Tiny town. And we would have sometimes 300 kids that would show up for Wednesday night church. That's not even touching our Sunday morning gatherings, which sometimes, I mean, the house would be packed. And I remember people that were walking in at one point in time, and they were looking around, couldn't even find a seat to get in. And I just remember what God was doing in that time. I remember these times where God would have the children get up on stage and they would call the adults forward. And I remember on one occasion in particular, the precious girl who's now the pastor's daughter of the church that we handed off to, she began laying hands on individuals and they began getting hit by the power of God, getting slain in the spirit. That didn't even happen very often when I prayed for people, but God was doing it through children. I mean, amazing. And this is why I even share that. We began. And it was like, man, do we even recognize what God was doing back then? I know we went through that season so quickly. It was a blur. We did not discern what God was doing, how special, how unique it was in that time. We recognize it now that it's come and that it's gone. But it's hard sometimes to recognize when the Lord is actively doing something. Because why? It's easy for us to look back and expect, and yeah, God, you did some great things back there. And it's easy for us to get excited about, oh, I think something good is getting ready to happen down the road. But church, I'm telling you, one of the things I've been praying every morning during early morning prayer is that we would break this mentality of this chasing something like a carrot on a stick. I feel like that's where many individuals with prophetic foresight get stuck in. It's just like, yep, God's getting ready to release breakthrough. God's getting ready to release the finances. God's getting ready to pour out his spirit. God's getting ready to do something wonderful. And you go in year after year after year. I mean, I've been an evangelist who's gone in, and I've gone into churches once a year, and I've heard year after year, and they're still chasing after this dangling carrot that's just one step ahead of them. Church, this is going to be the year that we break that stick, that we actually lay hold of some of the promises that God has for us. I want you to recognize, and I know some of you, you've been around for a long time, and you already discern God's doing something very unique here in Lahaina. We've never seen things like this before. Don't forget it. Don't let it become business as usual. Well, I guess this is just the way the church is now. No, God is building something, and he is moving us somewhere, and we are not going to miss it. You are going to be a part of it. We're going to see God usher in. Guys, this is the phrase that comes to my mind: historic revival. This is what I'm contending for: historic revival. Something that guys, it's going to be incredible. Summer is coming. Let's discern. So here's I've got three things for us this morning. This isn't going to take a long time, but three things that Jesus, this is what he encouraged. This is how you will not miss the summer that's coming. This is how we can learn from the fig tree. Number one, we need to set our priorities. That's the first point. You write that down. This is a good time. This is a good time of year to examine your priorities. What are you spending your time? What are you spending your money? What are you spending your energy? What are you active in? Establish, set your priorities. And here's, you can add this onto it. Set your priorities around God's agenda. Around God's agenda. Look at verse 37. This is where I'm pulling this from. It says, when the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up until the time that Noah entered the boat. Now, pause there for a moment. Are banquets bad? No. Okay. I mean, this isn't a trick question. Are parties bad? Can be, but generally, no. In and of themselves, parties are not bad. Okay, what about weddings? Are weddings bad? No, absolutely not. But here's the deal. It said in Noah's day, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings. And that's all fine. Unless God's got something on the agenda. And this is where they missed it. Because these people were going about their lives, business as usual. People getting married, celebrating different occasions. They're having parties, they're having gatherings, they're doing all of this kind of stuff. And the problem is, all of that is fine, except there was a man on the other side of town who was building a boat because God had showed him some of the things that were getting ready to transpire. See, there was one person who had heard the heart of God. He had seen the vision of what God was getting ready to do, and he was acting accordingly. All these other people were going about their lives business as usual. Oh, so-and-so's got a wedding. We need to go to that. Oh, somebody's celebrating that they got a promotion at work. We need to go to that. Oh, guess what? Somebody's having a banquet, and we need to go honor this new person that got appointed. You know, they were going about these things, and all of those are fine unless God's got an agenda that says otherwise. And this is where I would challenge us to. Church, it's the series that I preach coming out the gate, coming into Lahaina here, is to make room for a move of God. We can miss what the Lord desires to do if we do not prioritize his agenda. This is why it is so important, guys. This season of prayer and fasting, it's just this moment where we just kind of pause and we say, okay, God, what really matters here? Because even denying ourselves food in this season is saying, Lord, you matter more to me than going and getting a late night cheeseburger, even though that's what I want to do. But Lord, I'm prioritizing your spirit and your agenda above even the basis of my own desire. Wanting to eat is not sin. But what I'm saying in this season, I am reorienting my priorities. I'm setting my priorities around God's agenda. And I'm saying, Lord, I care about you and your will more than I care about anything in my own life. You think I want to spend 5 nights a week, 6 nights a week in church? I don't. I know, I'm so ungodly. I'm the pastor. But you know what? In this season, you know what? I will get up early in the morning and I will pray 5, 6 days a week. I will come into the house of God 5, 6 nights a week during this season because it's like, God, I don't want to miss what you have for us. We're not going to go to nightly services. Man, if we see the glory of God break out, we probably will. But that's not the point. I'm not saying that we got to get in church every day. But what I'm doing is I'm taking this season, these 21 days, and I'm saying, God, I want you to reorient my priorities. I want you to set my what is your agenda for the year? Has God been speaking to you? I hope you're praying. I encouraged us last week to be praying for God's prophetic assignments on your life, right? Setting New Year's resolutions, that's okay. But I think if you get the unction of God behind some of the things that you're deciding to do in this coming year, you'll actually feel some conviction over it, right? If you feel God saying, hey, you need to get in shape, right? You need to work off this Christmas gut. If I feel my wife telling me that I need to do that, okay. But if I feel like a conviction from God that I need to take care of my temple, right, then it just carries a little bit more weight, doesn't it? And this is why I pray for what God's prophetic assignments are. I hope you're doing that. Is God speaking to any of you guys things for this coming year? You better expect it, okay? I've had people come to me even over these last couple weeks. Man, I've had so many dreams that God's been speaking. God, understand what God is getting. I only got to listen to a couple minutes of Cindy Jacobs. She does is she will gather together prophets from all around the world. And they, I think this is in September or October, it's towards the end of the year. And they begin to pray about, Lord, what do you want to do in 2018? And all of these, I mean, there's probably 60, 70 prophets that all come together and they collectively hear from the heart of God. And then what Cindy does is the first weekend, that's today, the first Sunday of the month, that she will declare, she'll release what God has put out to the prophets collectively. And man, I take that word real seriously. And one of the things that she had prophesied about, again, I need to go and I'm gonna listen to and dissect the whole message here later this week. But one of the things that I heard her say is that God in this day and hour was going to release an incredible prophetic anointing upon the house of God. It's not just I'm telling you, it's not just on prayer leaders. It's not just on elite individuals. If you would receive it. God wants to speak to and through you with clear prophetic direction. This is why, this has already been in my heart. This is why in March, we're going to have a whole prophetic training week. We're bringing in a prophet that we know well, one who led the prophetic ministry and intercession in the church that we came out of in Dallas. They're going to come, her and her husband, they're going to come and they're going to do an entire week. And we're going to equip you guys to prophesy. We're going to equip you to effectively release the prophetic word of the Lord. This is something that the Lord wants to do in this coming year. Why do you need to expect, even over these 21 days, as you pray and seek the Lord, God will speak to you. I hope you're receiving this morning. You don't have to wait for prophetic conference in September to get a word from the Lord. I'm believing. In fact, I'm just gonna pray and release this right now. Lord, I'm asking over your sons and daughters, all who are gathered here today, Jesus, that you would release a prophetic anointing over your sons and daughters. Lord, your word says that to pursue love and to desire spiritual gifts, especially that you would prophesy. God, we desire to prophesy. We desire to hear your will and your intentions and to release your will and your intentions. God, every everywhere that you see fit. Lord, I pray, even in this season of fasting and prayer, God, over your sons and daughters, give us prophetic dreams. Show us things, God. Let us operate in sharp discernment in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm praying, God, that you would ignite passions on the inside of our hearts. Lord, there's men and women of God here within the sound of my voice that, God, you have spoken things in seasons past that we have not yet acted on. God, bring these back to our remembrance. Let them become like a fire in our bones that, God, we are agitated, we are irritated until we begin to step out and do what you have called us to do. Lord, ignite. Put a prophetic unction on the inside of us, Lord. Ignite some things on the inside of us, God. Release your anointing over this people. Let us see, let us hear, let us discern what your will and what your desire is for our this house, for our families, for our workplace, for our schools, God. Lord, give us our inheritance. What have you desired? What have you set apart for us in 2018? We will lay hold of it. We will not miss your will or your. We rebuke the hand of the enemy that would delay, that would distract, that would confuse. Lord, false voices that would try and speak or distract. God, we silence the voice of the enemy. Let no voice be heard, but your still small voice, mighty God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's move on. Look at verse 40. Men will be working together in the field. One will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding flour in the mill. One will be taken and the other will be left. Guys, there's people that missed it. Let's not be a people that miss anything that God has for us. Amen. Amen. I'll never forget Steve Hill. You'd be talking about, you know, the last thing that you want to happen is you leave church a little bit early. They're gearing up for the altar call. And you get a call while you're standing in line at, he said Whataburger. They don't have Whataburger here. But you're standing in line at McDonald's or whatever. You're at L&L and you're getting your plate lunch. And then you get a call from somebody and you just missed it, right? Somebody just got out of a wheelchair. Somebody's blind eye you don't want to miss this kind of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. So we're not going to miss it. These are some people that missed it. The Jews missed it in that day. We're not going to miss it. Amen? Here's how. Look at verse 42. So you too must keep watch. If you don't know what day the Lord is coming, understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch. He would not permit his house to be broken into. You also be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when he is least expected. Here's my second point this morning. Keep watch. This is really simple. You don't know the day or the hour. And you know what I've discovered? Most people decide, hey, we can't know the day or the hour. And so they decide, you know, again, this is a lot of end times verbiage, and it's a proper application for that. You've got what you call premillennial theologians. I don't know. You got people that take a premillennial stance, a postmillennial stance, pre-tribulation rapture, post-tribulation rapture. And then there's others that just decide, you know what? I'm a pan-theologian. Everybody say pan-theologian. You know what a pan-theologian is? A pan-theologian is those that say, listen, pastor, I don't understand what you just said about premillennial, postmillennial, pre-tribulation, and that's all too confusing for me. I'm going to be a pan-millennialist, and that means that everything's just going to pan out in the end. Now, let me tell you something. That is a bad position to take. I'm telling you, look at what Jesus said right here. Read the verse again if you need to. He said, you do not know the day or the hour. And so many people just decide, this is all too complicated. I'm not going to understand. We're not going to know when Jesus is getting ready to come back. We're not going to know when God's getting ready to do stuff. And so I'm just not going to worry about it. That is the opposite of the application that Jesus said. Do you see what he said? He said, keep watch. And then he said, if you knew that somebody was, how would you act? How would you act if you knew that somebody was coming to break into your house? You don't know exactly when, but I'm telling you something, man. I would make sure that my 9mm is polished and loaded and ready. I'm just telling you, man. I would make sure that our security camera is positioned and exactly where it needs to be. That way, if somebody does break in, I can get it on camera. I would make sure that I could do everything within my power to make sure. I probably have Tim McCleary, security specialist, train me on some takedowns or so. I don't know what. I mean, I just give me some tips on this thing. If I knew that somebody was coming to break into my house, I would do all that I could to be prepared, even if I didn't know when it was transpiring. And that's exactly what Jesus said we need to do. He says, you don't know the day or the hour, but it's coming. Keep watch. Keep watch. You knew a burglar was coming. You wouldn't just brush it off. You wouldn't just ignore this thing. But this is what he said in verse 44. You must be ready all the time. Church, God's getting ready to do some things in this coming year. We need to be ready. We need to keep watch. We need to not grow lazy. Well, yeah, somebody said that 2 years ago, and it just didn't happen. No, wrong attitude. We're going to keep watch, and we're going to be ready because, guys, what if it's poured out tomorrow? What if this last day outpouring? What if this prophetic word that individuals have given that Hawaii is going to be the first Christian nation? What if that began being poured out and it started right here and it began today? Well, I'm just busy. I got a banquet. I got a party. I got a wedding that's going on. We're gonna be ready, church. We're not gonna miss what the Lord is getting ready to do. Amen. Listen, go back and listen to the prayer nights. I mean, if I had time, I could take time, but I'm not gonna do that to you guys. But go back and listen to. There's a reason that I believe that that revival is going to begin with our young people. There's a reason that we're sowing finances and we're making sure that our young people have the best and what's available. You notice in Acts chapter 2, when he says, in the last days, he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. The first individuals that he lists there is your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. God wants to use our young people. This is where it's historically began. You see it consistently in many revivals that have happened throughout history. I believe that's what the Lord's going to do here. We're going to keep watch. Amen? Here's the last thing. Be faithful. Be faithful. Verse 45, it says this, a faithful, sensible servant is one over whom the master can give responsibility of managing the other household servants and feeding them. The master returns and finds that the servant has done a good job. There will be a reward. Then he continues on. He talks about the servant who's not been faithful, but a servant who's evil and thinks my master will be back. He won't be back for a while. Begins beating the other servants, partying, getting drunk. The master will return unannounced and unexpected, and he will cut the servant to pieces, assign him a place with the hypocrites in a place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's not going to be us, amen? Nobody's getting cut to pieces. Nobody's going to be marked with hypocrites, right? Nobody's going to be cast into a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're going to be a people that are faithful with what God has given us, amen? This is what you look at this, and this is just real simple. As you look at priorities, and I would challenge you to do all of these things, even just over the next week, over this season, you begin to prioritize and set your priorities, but then begin to examine, God, is what I'm doing effective and fruitful? Am I being faithful with what you have given me, what you have trusted me with? Guys, this is incredibly important. I examine fruitfulness all the time. And let me just be real. What does that look like, Pastor? How do I know if it's fruitful? Here's the deal. Two things that I want you to consider in regards to fruitfulness. Number one is healthy things grow. Period. I know I've heard people say over the years, well, the numbers don't really matter. Numbers aren't that important. I'm telling you what, I care about numbers because every number that we count, every head that we count in this room is a soul. Are you glad that I care about your soul? Are you glad that you have life group leaders who care about your soul? glad you've got pastors and ministers who care about your soul. I mean, we should. Those are numbers. Numbers matter. I care about the numbers that come in, the offerings and things like that, because guess what? We're building the kingdom with that thing. That's not going into my second motorcycle fund or anything like that. I'm telling you, we're gonna take the finances that come into this house, and we're gonna build the kingdom. We're gonna establish the works of God around the world. Numbers matter. So that's the first thing. Fruitful things grow. Healthy things grow. Take a lesson from the fig tree. I know my wife is constantly walking around this place, and why isn't this thing producing fruit? And why isn't this thing producing fruit? And why isn't it? Well, you just need to cut it down. No, let's try and feed it, Leah. Don't just cut it down, okay? It's just, you care for some things, you feed it, and it'll begin to produce fruit. It'll begin to grow, okay? So it's not a hopeless sort of thing. But here's the second thing that I think about in regards to fruitfulness is it mostly pertains to people. The measure of fruitfulness and faithfulness mostly pertains to people. And this is what I would challenge you to begin to examine your life and your work in this coming year is, who am I impacting? What lives am I touching? Who am I discipling? Are there people that have been saved because of what I'm actively engaged in? Are my children, I mean, listen, you might not lead a ministry in this house, but every parent, you can look at, are my sons and daughters being raised? Are they fearing the Lord? Are they honoring God? Are they active in the church? Are they well behaved? Are they, you know, whatever? Are they getting good grades? I mean, these are all marks of fruitfulness. Fruitfulness. I look at the behavior of my children, and you know what I decide? I decide whether, I look at their behavior, and it determines whether I feel like I'm being a good father or not. Period. Well, they're just a knucklehead. Yeah, beat the knuckle out of them, okay? You just, this is God's strategy for discipline, okay? You just, you take them under your wing, and I'm telling you, you just, I better stop, but because I'm going to get in trouble here, but... But I'm telling you, you have been given responsibility. You know, some of you are grandparents already. What kind of grandparent are you being? Are you caring for your grandchildren? Guys, every church that I've been to, I've met individuals who are saved because, you know what, their parents are off and they're in la-la land, they're doing whatever. But I've met godly grandparents who made it their mission. I'm going to bring my grandkids into the church. They are going to honor the Lord. I'm going to teach them how to pray. Are you being a good, godly grandparent? If you have a ministry, who new have you recruited? Are there new people who have come in within your ministry? Are you training somebody up to do what you do? These are important questions. This is fruitfulness. Have you been faithful with what God has given you? Churches, I look back, and I don't have a lot of years of ministry under my belt. I've got about 12 now. But as I look back and I think about what the Lord has done, you know, I can look at some things and, well, we built a building over there and, you know, we paid off the debt on one church building, and I can look at things like that. Oh, we started this ministry and that ministry. But at the end of the day, you know what really sticks with me is the people. The people that have been impacted. When I think about Leah, do you remember when this couple came in? Their marriage was absolutely destroyed. But look at them today. They lead a marriage ministry. You remember when this young man came into our ministry, man? His dad was an alcoholic, would beat him every day. But now, look, he is happily married and they're leading a ministry in Indiana. Look at this young man. He came in, you know, now he got married and now he's a youth pastor. I mean, these are the kinds of things that I look at the changed lives, and that's what remains with me. Guys, it is easy. Let me tell you, a trap that many of us can fall into. I'm talking about prioritizing the house of God in the work of God. What that does not mean is to get more busy with doing ministries. Hear me on this, okay? I do not want you spending every day of the week, morning and night, in the house doing some task while your marriage, while your kids backslide, while you're not discipling. You know, it's one of the strategies is in the book of Daniel. One of the strategies of the devil in the last day was that he was going to weary the saints. And it was simply by making us too busy. We can get so busy that we become ineffective in what God has called us to do. I would rather do one or two things really, really well than have three or five ministries that I'm doing just kind of okay. You guys understand what I'm saying? Prioritize your life and measure your fruit. Are you being faithful with what God has trusted you with? Amen? He says, if we do this, when the master returns and he finds a servant has done a good job, there will be a reward. Church, there's a reward. You read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians 3, it talks about what we would call the judgment seat of Christ. This is not a judgment for, you know, whether you're going to make it into heaven or hell. If you're saved, if you've been saved by Jesus, you've given him, he's the Lord of your life, you make it into heaven. But then our works become incredibly important beyond that. You understand, I'll never forget this, I had an instructor in Bible college who talked about how there would be great distinctions in heaven. And he says, all of us, you know, you've been saved, you've been washed by the blood, you'll make it into heaven, that's wonderful. But he's like, make sure. He's like, I'm living my life in such a way that I'm going to have a mansion and I'm going to have all this and that. You know, the Bible talks about all that kind of stuff. And he says, make sure. His name was Dr. Holler. Is Dr. Holler. He's still the director at Christ for the Nations. He says, make sure that when you get into heaven, you are not Dr. Holler's lawn person. Because there will be people, you read in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, who make it into heaven. And the Bible says, yet so as through fire, or barely passing through the fire. Or in the PJV, the Pastor Jacob version, I say, by the skin of your teeth. You barely make it into heaven. And you have nothing to show for the life of Christ that you lived here on the earth. Nothing of eternal value. You didn't bring one soul with you. You didn't have one ministry. You didn't help build a church. You didn't do nothing. But you had faith in Jesus. You made it into heaven. Praise God you did. But you came in by the skin of your teeth. You know what he says? That they will suffer loss. They will suffer loss. There will be distinctions in heaven. Not everybody's going to be equal in heaven. Not everybody's going to be equal in heaven. Steve Hill used to talk about how he's like, he would challenge us. He's like, guys, I've got truckloads of treasures in heaven, and I want you to beat me. You're not going to, but I want you to try and get more treasure in heaven than what I've got. I want you to try and get more jewels in your crown than what I, you're not going to do it, but I want you to try. And that stuck with me. It's a challenge. I challenge you, church. Leonard Ravenhill said, make sure when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ that you're not standing knee deep in ashes. You see, every work that we give our lives to, everything that we do, every ministry, every person that we serve, everything that the Lord has trusted us with, it will be tested by fire one day. And if it's things of eternal value, the Bible talks about gold, silver, and precious stones. What happens when you bring fire to gold or you bring fire to silver? What happens is the impurities are brought forth. It's only purified. It's even made better. But then he also talks about how you can also build on the foundation of Jesus Christ with things of temporal value. Wood, straw, and wood, hay, and stubble. Wood, hay, and stubble, you know, just fleeting things. And what happens is, as the fire is brought to these things, what happens? They're consumed and you're left with nothing but ashes. This is exactly what the Lord has challenged each and every one of us as the body of Christ. Test your works today. You don't have to wait before you stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It was what you're building on, is what you're praying towards, is what you're praying into, what you're serving, are the things that you're actively engaged in and giving your time. Is it going to matter in the light of eternity? Or are these things that are going to burn away, that are going to fade into nothingness? Church, the last thing I want is to get into heaven. It's another Ravenhill thought. If you ever want to feel guilty about your complacency or feel like you need to be doing more for the Lord, just listen to Leonard Ravenhill for a minute, okay? Go read one of his books. It's very challenging. He talks about this idea. Like, imagine getting into heaven. And for all eternity, you had a job that the Lord assigned to you, but you didn't do it. And somebody else came along and they fulfilled the mission that God had for their life. And for whatever reason, you get into heaven, and for all eternity, you see somebody else walking around in heaven with a crown that you were supposed to have. Guys, I don't know what you're going to feel in that moment. I won't suggest for a minute that there's going to be guilt or sorrow or any of these things in heaven. We know those pass away, but I guarantee you're going to feel something in those moments. Well, have I challenged you this morning? Good. I want you to stand to your feet. If I could have, Colleen, will you come in? Get on the piano here for a moment. Just want to pray a closing prayer over each and every one of us, guys. God has great things in store for us. And you're not going to miss the will of God for your life. You're not going to miss the will of God. Lahaina is not going to miss the will of God. Got a couple minutes. I'm going to pray a closing prayer. I just want to share one last story with you. I had a dream. This is wild. I had a dream probably 7 years ago, eight years ago, something like that. And in this dream, I saw like this open field, and I saw churches that were scattered out all across this big, vast open field. And I saw these storm clouds that were beginning to roll over this field. And as the clouds were going by, I would see certain churches, not all of them, but I would see certain churches light up. And what would happen is a lightning bolt, bam, would hit that church. It would continue to roll over and roll over. And as I was watching this come towards me, and I was standing in front of our church, and I watched this coming towards me, what I discerned was that this was God's holy presence that was rolling over the land. And that for all who would position themselves and cry out for it, a jolt of God's power, a jolt, you could call it revival, would be released upon that house and absolutely ignite that place. But the key, it wasn't about God's will, whether he wanted to or not. We know that in this last day, God desires to pour out his spirit on all flesh. I'm telling you, every church ought to have a word about some revival that God wants to do, because I believe that he wants to do it in the church as a whole in this last day. What marks the difference, what'll make the difference, are there going to be a people who prioritize God's will? I remember as I felt this, if I don't cry out, if I don't position myself to receive what the Lord has, then it's just going to pass us by. It's not going to hit us. And so I remember even in the dream, I climbed to the highest point in that church that I could physically reach. And I stretched forth my hands and I just began to cry out with all of my being. Church, that vision has always stuck with me. And I believe that's what the Lord wants to do in this day. But he's looking for people who will position themselves and say, God, I'll receive what you want to do in this day. Lord, I'll stretch forth my hands. I'll cry out that you would use us. As the worst thing that I would hate to see happen, I mean, this wouldn't be the worst thing. What if there's a church down the road and they're fasting and praying and contending and positioning themselves for revival? And he passes us by. Church, that's not going to happen. If that happens, see ya. I'm going to go to the revival church. I'm just telling you, I'm being honest. But here's what I believe. I believe if we would position ourselves, wants to do some amazing things right here. And he wants to use you. He wants to use you. Wow. Would you bow your head and close your eyes all across this room? As we close, I just want to give you the opportunity this morning. There are individuals who are here You say, Pastor, I want to get on track with what God has for me this year. I don't want to miss it. And the very first thing that some of you need to do is you need to get right with Him. Some of you, if you were honest with yourself, you'd say, I've not been living the life that Jesus has called me to live. I've got sin in my life. I've got compromise. I've not been concerned about the will of God for my life. But today, that's going to change. You're saying, today, I'm gonna prioritize the will and the intentions of God Almighty for me and my life. I'm going to put Him first. If you're here today and you say, you know what, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Nobody looking around. I'm not asking if you've ever prayed this prayer before, if this is a first time thing or not. But if you're here and you say, Pastor, I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life and my everything. If that's you, nobody's looking around. I just want you to lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying for. Yeah, I see those hands. I see you. I see you. I see your hand. God bless you. I see you in the back there. God bless you. I see you. Hallelujah. You can put your hands down. Now listen, if you're here, you say, you know what? Jesus is the Lord of my life, but I've got some junk in my life that I want Him to work through. If you are honest, you feel like there's some things, and you could even point your finger at it. This is what hinders me from getting close to God. This is the thing. I want Him to be the Lord of my life. I'm here and I serve and I love Jesus, but I've just got something in my life that drags me away. Something that I feel like separates me from God. If that's you and you say, you know what, Pastor, I want to lay it down today. I don't want anything to separate me from God. I want nothing in between me and Him. If that's you, would you lift up your hand so I know who I'm praying for? Yeah. Many hands. Amen. Amen. I want you to pray this with me right now. Everybody all across this room, pray, Dear Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to forgive me. I have sinned. I've fallen short. But I thank you that you shed your blood. You died on a cross. You rose from the dead so that I could be saved, so I could be forgiven, so I could have eternal life. Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life, every area of my life. Be my very best friend. I give myself to you. Live your life through me. I declare, I will fulfill your plan for my life. I will not miss a door that you open for me. I thank you for leading me by your Holy Spirit. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit today. Move upon my life. Speak to me. Let me be so sensitive when your Holy Spirit speaks, and I will obey. I love you, Jesus. Thank you for working in my life. In Jesus' name, amen.